Today is Wednesday, May the 5th, 2021. Welcome to More of the Word with Pastor Chuck Puccio, a podcast designed to help you start your daily devotion with a biblically focused intention. Here's Pastor Chuck.
Greetings. As we continue to think about the relationship between a good God, a great God, and the presence of evil, it behooves us to acknowledge that specific evil is the result of specific sins. Some of the evil occurrences in life are caused by the sinful actions of others. We alluded to that at the end of yesterday's podcast, and we continue to think about that today. Murder, child abuse, theft, and rape are evils tied in with the existence of people who exercise sinful choices. In some cases, the victim is innocent, completely innocent of the evil which occurs. In other cases, the victim contributes to or provokes the evil action. In a fair number of instances, we bring evil upon ourselves by our own sinful or otherwise unwise actions. But we need to take care here not to relate every unfortunate circumstance to personal sin. The book of Job was included in the Bible to disabuse us of that notion. Also look at John 9:1-3. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him." As you can see, the disciples embrace the popular notion that a man's blindness must have been a direct result of somebody's sin. Jesus rebukes such a belief. Yes, illnesses, blindnesses, other things like that didn't exist before sin came in the world, but it didn't mean that this person's sin directly resulted in that person's misfortune. Jesus was not saying that the man and his parents had not sinned. Rather, he was refuting the idea that the blindness was the result of a specific sin. It is unwise to attribute such misfortunes automatically to one's own sinfulness. But having given this warning, we need to note that there are instances of sin bringing about unfortunate results in the lives of the sinners. A case in point, of course, is David, whose sin with Bathsheba and murder of Uriah resulted in the death of a child that David and Bathsheba had conceived, as well as much conflict in David's own household, direct result of his sinfulness. Much of the evil recounted in Scripture came upon people as a result of their own sin or that of someone close to them. Which is why Paul wrote in Galatians 6:7-8, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Whoever violates the law against adultery may find that the result is the destruction of relationships, of trust, not only with one's spouse, but with one's children as well. The habitual drunkard may well destroy his health with cirrhosis of the liver or some form of cancer caused by overindulging in alcohol. God is not attacking him, rather his sin brought about the illness. This is not to say, however, that God may not use the natural results of sin to chasten people." Every religion must deal with this tension between an all-loving, all-powerful God and evil, but Christianity offers a profound contribution that cannot be matched by any other religious system. Our God is indeed so incredibly good and loving that He took the evil effects of sin on Himself. That's no insignificant issue to ponder when seeking to work out the relationship between an all-loving, all-powerful God and the presence of evil. It is remarkable that while knowing that He Himself was to become a victim, indeed the major victim of evil resulting from sin, God allowed sin to occur anyway. The triune God knew that the second person of the Trinity would come to earth and be subjected to numerous evils: hunger, fatigue, betrayal, ridicule, rejection, suffering, torture, death. He did this in order to negate sin and thus its evil effects. God is a fellow sufferer with us of the evil in this world, and He suffered its effects more than any of us. But because of that, He is able to deliver us from evil. That is indeed a good God. Anyone who would impugn the goodness of God for allowing sin and consequently evil must measure that charge against the teaching of Scripture that God Himself became the ultimate victim of evil so that He and we might be victors over it. Another issue to think about when considering this tension between the goodness, greatness of God and the presence of evil is the issue of time. Those who seek to impugn God for allowing evil lose sight of a very important point. Just because God hasn't eliminated evil doesn't mean that He won't. In fact, He most certainly will. And the only reason He hasn't yet is that He is indeed a patient and loving God. 2 Peter 3:8-9. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. The Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. These words were written to people who were undergoing great suffering, who were desirous of God's coming in and eliminating evil, vindicating their faith. Peter said, God's not slow. He's patient because He wants everyone to repent. But the eternal defeat of evil will come. The very next verse in 2 Peter 3 says this, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. It's only because of God's love that evil hasn't been destroyed. Stop condemning God for the presence of evil and start praising Him for taking its full effects on Himself and being patient with us in an effort to lure us, to draw us to Himself so that we don't have to experience its effects. There's no question that in this life there are what seem to be rather clear instances of injustice and innocent suffering. If this life were all that there is, then surely the problem of evil would be unresolvable. But Christianity's doctrine of life hereafter teaches that there will be a great time of judgment. Every sin will be recognized, and the godly will also be revealed. The judgment will be thoroughly just. Punishment for evil will be administered, and the final dimension of eternal life will be granted to all who have responded to God's loving offer. Thus, the complaint regarding how the evil prosper and the righteous suffer will be satisfied in time. And that time is very, very near.
Thank you for listening to More of the Word with Pastor Chuck Puccio. Our hope is that this program will help you kickstart your own time alone with God each day. We invite you to use it to set your mind on the things of Him. If you have any questions about this episode or other biblical matters, please feel free to email Pastor Chuck directly at chuck@broadmoor.tv.